Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Today, I would like to talk about walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and learn about how the Holy Spirit will work through our life and in our life. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask for the anointing, who is our teacher, the Holy Spirit, will open our spiritual eyes to understand the truth of God. Father, may this church welcome more and more the power of God, the person, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that we cannot know Jesus without the Helper, the Holy Spirit. We cannot do the ministry on earth here without the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Father, speak into the heart of your people in this room right now and help them to understand why they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. We talk about the things of God. And the things of God sometimes we don't see with our own eyes because it's about the spiritual kingdom. We don't see the Spirit of God, but He is so real. He is as real as the person who is sitting close to you right now. Even though we don't see Him, but He is in us. And He will continue to work in us as we welcome Him and let Him fill our life with His power. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we want to walk in the power of the Spirit of God, we need to learn how to draw near to God. We need to be hungry for the things of God. We need to recognize the reality of the Spirit of God. And we need to draw near to Him in our, not only physically, but spiritually. In our spirit, we need to cry out to God and say, Lord, I need You. I need You to work in me and through me. And it's interesting. The Bible tells us that we can do something that God can draw near to us. I don't know about you, but for my wife, it's so wonderful that my wife come close to me and talk to me. The same thing. It's wonderful that God come close to you and draw near to you. And you can do something about that, that the Holy Spirit will really be stirred up on the inside of you, and you can really feel and sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. How you do that? You need to say, I draw near to You. I want You. I want You to work through me and in me. I'm hungry for Your presence. My dear brothers and sisters, how many of you will go to Bellingham or Vancouver, BC by walking? How many of you want to do that? Raise your hand up. Walking to watch Vancouver, BC. No one, is that right? How many people want to get a nice car and drive up there? Amen. How many people want to go to Mexico by walking? No one. Everyone needs a plane to go to Mexico. The same thing. As a Christian, we cannot, if we ignore the person of the Holy Spirit, if we don't depend on the power of God, it is like walking to Vancouver, BC. It is like trying to walk to Mexico City from Seattle here. We need the power. As we need the car to go somewhere, that car have the engine that give you the power to get to wherever you need to go. The same thing, God give us the power, and that power come by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Therefore, wise Christians will know the person of the Holy Spirit, will learn about and get to know the person of the Holy Spirit, and be filled with the person of the Holy or the Holy Spirit. We need to understand as a church, if this generation is not open to the Holy Spirit, our next generation will not be open to the Holy Spirit. Our kids need to see that the parents in this church love the Holy Spirit. And they're going to follow your example, that they will love the Holy Spirit. And you depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at how the Holy Spirit thinks about you. In James chapter 4 verse 5. You know, you need to draw near to God. But look at how God thinks about you. James chapter 4 verse 5 say, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you and He yearns to fellowship with you. What does it mean, yearn? It means to long for jealously. He just longs to have a relationship with you consistently, persistently, all the time. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you want to talk to you, want to listen to you, and have a fellowship with you consistently, all the time. Unfortunately, He is the most ignored person in the church. Many Christians never talk to the Holy Spirit. Many Christians don't even recognize the person of the Holy Spirit. He wants to talk to you all the time. Do you talk to the Spirit of God all day long? Do you draw near to Him all day long? Or you just ignore Him all the time? When I perform an operation, I was talking to the Holy Spirit. I was listening to Him. I was communing with Him. When I drive a car, when I'm preaching right now, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. My spirit is talking to the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I want to know what God wants me to say. I want to know what God wants to say to this church. Everything that we do, we should depend on the Holy Spirit. And then the power will be inside there, will be in that activities, in that words. The word of God that come out from your mouth, whatever you say, will be anointed by the Spirit of God. God loved you so much, and He wants to fellowship with you. Don't ignore Him, please. Don't just set Him aside and to say, I don't want to bother you, I don't want to talk to you. Talk to God on the inside of you all day long. Amen. Listen to Him all day long. Depend on Him all day long. Look at Psalm chapter 139, verses 17 to 18. You see how much God loved you here. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I cannot even count them. The thoughts of God about you, He thinks about you so much that you cannot count the thoughts that He thinks about you. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. Wow. The numbers of thoughts that God thinks about you and me are outnumber the grains of sand in the whole world. How much God has been thinking about you. I experienced that because as a pastor, the spirit of shepherd is inside of me. I think about God's people all day long. Think about you all day long. Your face pop up in my mind all day long. I believe that is the Spirit of God. Think about you, pray for you, how you doing, and think about you all the time. I may not call you, I may not email you, but your faces are in my mind all the time. Not because I need to think about you. No, because the Holy Spirit on the inside of me make me think about you. When you love somebody, you think about that person a lot. Is that right? How many people think about your girlfriend all the time? He's wise that he raised hand. Wow. JR is very wise to raise hand. How many people think about your wife or your girlfriend all day long? Oh, good. Praise God. Amen. Because why? Because you love that person. That's why you think about her or him all day long. The same thing, God loves us. And God think about us all day long. But unfortunately, many Christians never think about God, never talk to the Holy Spirit. How many people have experience of the issue of rejection? How many people faced rejection before? I remember when I first came to America, I went to a doctor's party. Oh, that party full of neurosurgeons, neurologists, and PhD. I and Pastor Da were standing there in that big party in somebody's home. The whole time, almost only 10 minutes of the 2 hours, people talked to us. The rest of the time, everybody talked to everybody except us. We were standing there. Everyone ignored us. And we felt so bad. We just came to America that no one wanted to talk to us. I can feel the issue of rejection, of discrimination. But we just stand there and smile, and we know that even though these people may not care about us that much, but God cares about us. It doesn't matter, because God cares for us. If you have experience of rejection, I want to tell you, one person in this room, in your life, understands about rejection better than you, because he has been rejected all these 2,000 years by many Christians in the church. Whenever the Holy Spirit is moving, it's interesting. A lot of Christians back off. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want something like this. This is not good. This is something scary. I don't want Holy Spirit. Many Christians never even talk to the Holy Spirit in their life for years. Is it very sad? How do you feel if you sit in the car? And I remember we went to Olympic Peninsula to get a driving about 3 or 4 hours to Olympic Peninsula. How do you feel if somebody in that car that you are driving with never talked to you the whole time? How you feel? You feel very offended. You feel very bad that person never talked to you. That's how many Christians are treating the Holy Spirit. They never talk to him. They never listen to him. And they never care how he wants to do in their life. He just completely ignored by God's people all these 2,000 years. And I want to stir up the church right now that you need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You need to say to him, you need to talk to him, you need to love him and draw near to him. Amen. Amen. We need to welcome him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, from the book of Genesis to the time of the four gospel, the Jews tried to know the Father apart from Jesus. Is that right? If you look in the scripture, one time they talked to Jesus this way. Let me look for that scripture. He talked to Jesus that I don't want Jesus around here. I just only want to know the Father and Moses. Oh, I could not find the scripture. I'm sorry. It's in somewhere here. I'll read to you later on. But interesting. But Christians today try to know Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot know Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who will glorify Jesus. Yesterday and many days ago, I heard that there is a false prophet happening in the world. And one of the false prophets happened in Asia right now, that millions of people are following him. And he claimed to be the Messiah. He said that you cannot come to heaven without going through me. And I don't want to mention name or mention any group of people. But when I heard that, I feel right away in my spirit that this is the problem. That the church just tried to know Jesus through a man. You cannot know Jesus through a man. And eventually that man fall into false teaching. You need to welcome the Holy Spirit. Our church will never love Jesus enough without the Holy Spirit. In fact, since I have been in revival, being touched by God, the more I have been touched by God, the more I feel that I'm smaller and smaller and decrease and decrease. And the more I want Jesus to be glorified in the church. And the more I'm being touched by the Spirit of God. The more I feel that I am nothing, but He is everything. I feel that Jesus needs to be glorified in the church more than anyone else. And we're going to lead people to Jesus, not to a man. Amen. Amen. My goal is that one day this church will run without me. The church can run. The church can go on without a man like me. In other words, people can rise up and go on with the church because Jesus is still here anyway. Amen. Amen. Jesus is going to build the church, not me. Amen. I'm just His vessel. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 15 to 16. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, and He called the Holy Spirit another helper. Everyone say, another helper. The word another in the Greek language is allos. The word allos means another one of the same kind. For example, if I give you an apple and you finish eating it, you say, I want more. So I give you another apple. That another apple is allo. Another apple, another fruit of the same kind called apple. Greek word is used in medical term. When we want to perform a fusion. How many people understand the word fusion? Fusion means you put the bone together to fuse together to make the bone connect. When you want to fuse the bone to the bone, we call fusion. And we sometimes use patient's own bone. We get the bone from the hip here. We make a cut, dig out the bone, and dump into that part of the body, like the leg or the hip or leg or whatever. And then the fusion will take place in 3 months. And we call that bone that comes from the person, the patient himself or herself, we call autograft. But whenever you get the bone from another person, for example, if we want to use hip bone from another person, we call allograft. So the word allo means another of the same kind. You don't use the bone from dog for fusion for the patient. How many people want a doctor to put a bone from the dog in your body? No, you want a human bone. Amen. So you want to use the human bone to do fusion. I do a lot of this every single day. I do a lot of fusion. So I understand the word allo very well. How about the word helper? The word helper is parakletos, which means a person who is called to stand by your side to help you. It's almost like a lawyer or advocate. Jesus was called advocate. You know why? Because He stands by yourself to help you to get out of your sin. He is standing on the right hand of God to intercede for you. He is called advocate in the Bible. But nowadays, Jesus is not on earth anymore. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So who will be your advocate? Who will be the parakletos or helper who stand by your side and help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? Who is there stand by your side? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the helper. Amen. He helps you in everything. Your family life, your parenting, how you become a husband, how you are a good wife, to become a businessman, how you run your business. He helps you everything. It's not only on Sunday that you come worship God and you feel goosebumps a little bit, you feel the presence of God. No, He helps you 24 hours a day. Amen. He will tell you what to pray. He will tell you what to say. I'm serious. Every time I talk to my patients, I even listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is my helper to say exactly what I need to say. When I perform an operation, the Holy Spirit will tell me exactly what I need to do. How long the cut, how much the bone I need to take out, everything. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He is there with you and in you all the time. Amen. So the purpose of this teaching today is to help you recognize that God loves you so much. He does not leave you as an orphan. He does not leave you by yourself. He give you, He has given you a helper, and His name we call the Holy Spirit. Amen. He can help you anytime. He is there for you to give you the power, the wisdom, the strength to go through your life on earth here. Amen. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Everyone say advantage. Advantage. That I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. This is interesting. You need to put yourself in the disciples' shoes. 2,000 years ago, they were sitting in front of Jesus. Many times I talked to my wife that, would it be nice if Jesus is walking on earth now, and I can touch Him, and I can walk with Him in Seattle. If Jesus show up in Seattle, and He become a pastor of this church, and I can get around Him, see Him how He cast out demons, He heal the sick, He preach with authority, He stop the rain in Seattle sometimes, He's tired of rain, too much gray sky. We come to Jesus and say, Jesus, can we have a blue sky for a day? And Jesus say, blue sky! And then blue sky come out, and we all enjoy that day. Is that going to be fun? Wow! And then when you sit close to Him, you feel the anointing. Because He has the anointing without measure, without limit. Oh, I cannot imagine how much fun we're going to be with Jesus around us. Amen? But He say, it's not good for you that I am around. I have to go. Wow! The disciple must be shocked. Jesus, you are here. I can ask you about the kingdom. Any question about the kingdom anytime. I can be around you. If I need a miracle, you can perform a miracle for us. If I need healing, you can heal us. Oh, what's wonderful. Why you say you're leaving us? Why you say you have to depart from us? Jesus said, No. It's better for me to depart so that I can give you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Let me explain to you why it is better that Jesus is not on earth now. Number one, Jesus is God incarnated in the flesh. He is the Word in the flesh. So what it means that He can be at one place at one time. So if Jesus is in Jerusalem, you cannot meet Him. Is that right? Not only that, even if Jesus show up in Seattle, okay, if Jesus is in Jerusalem and you want to meet Him, what you need to do, what? Buy an airplane ticket to fly there. Not only that, if you don't have enough money, you will never meet Him because you cannot buy the airplane ticket. You have to rent a hotel, rent a car. Oh, pretty costly to meet Jesus if Jesus is on earth. How many people agree with that? But even Jesus show up in Seattle. Haha. You say, I cannot talk to Him personally. But unfortunately, some of us here are more talkative than you. And they're bigger than you. They're going to stand in front of Jesus and, oh, I have a lot of questions. So you have to stand in the line. Big line. A lot of big people stand in front of you. You want to get to Jesus. You never get to Him. You have to wait for your turn. And you will be pushed away all the time. Because somebody like Peter, who talk a lot, will say, not your turn yet, it's my turn. I'm going to talk to Jesus. Not only that, he has to sleep at least 5 to 6 hours a day. He has to rest. So at around 2 a.m., you have problem. You have to think, should I call him? Should I call him 2 a.m.? This morning I got a phone call early in the morning. Oh, it's not fun. Somebody call you around 5 a.m. I want to sleep in a little bit more, but somebody call. You know, you don't want to call somebody at 2 a.m. in the morning. So if Jesus is on earth, you cannot talk to Him from midnight to at least 6 a.m. in the morning. He need to rest. Is that right? So now you understand why it is better for Jesus to go away. It is better because now He sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be in everybody in this room. Amen. And the Holy Spirit can be with you 24 hours a day at any location in the world. And He understands every single language as you speak. You can speak Mandarin to Him. You can speak Catalog to Him. You can speak Chinese or Japanese, any language, he understands my English too. Sometimes I may speak with accent, but he understands me. So it's better for Jesus to go away, and then the Holy Spirit will live on the inside of us, and you can call upon him anytime. Amen. He lives on the inside of you. Wherever you go, he goes with you.
Amen.
Wherever you are, he will be with you there 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Is it better?
Yes.
But don't ignore him. Yes. Don't ignore the Spirit of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. Amen. It's wonderful to have the Holy Spirit in our life so that we can depend on God 24 hours a day everywhere we go. Amen. We need to value and see the importance of fellowshipping and depending on the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. As a church, I make a decision to welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. It may not look traditional. It may be sometimes look scary, because it's whenever the Holy Spirit show up, I tell you, your flesh gonna be feeling uneasy. Your sinful nature inside gonna start to feel a little bit tremble. When God show up, when the Holy Spirit show up in a tangible way, our tendency is to run away. Our tendency is to say, no, I leave this place right now. That's what happened to the Jews at the mountain when Moses come in and the cloud of glory show up, when the presence of the Holy Spirit show up. Unfortunately, most of the Israelite ran away or stood far away from the Holy Spirit, stood far away from God, because the flesh feel uncomfortable in the presence of God. I want to encourage you. Run to God.
Amen.
Draw near to God.
Amen.
Don't run away from him. Even though the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, but he can show up in the church, outside, and touch people. Amen.
Yes.
The more the Holy Spirit, you allow the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of you, the more you will be stronger. The stronger you're going to be. The more pure you're going to be. The more holy you're going to be. He's going to come and change you and impart the power into your life. He comes to bless you. He does not come to hurt you. That's why we need to welcome the Holy Spirit. We need to run to him. Amen. We should not run away from him. We should love him and get close to him. Look at what happened in the early church. In Acts chapter 1 verses 4 to 5. How many people know that Jesus ministered to thousands of people in his time? Maybe even 10,000 people came to Jesus. How many people know that Jesus showed up after he came back to life? He was resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He appeared. The Bible says he appeared more than 500 people at the same time. 500 people more than in this room at the same time. Wow. Thousands of people experience the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in him. Many people have seen the power of God and seen the glory of God through the life of Jesus Christ. But this is what he say in the Bible. Look at Acts chapter 1 verses 4 to 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, Jesus commanded them, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Everyone say, promise of the Father. God has a promise for you. He's going to give you a nice car to drive.
Amen.
Not walking anymore.
Amen.
That promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. The car that you will depend on. Which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is a command of Jesus. Is this a request? Is this a suggestion? Is this a kind of good things to do? Whatever you want? No, 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 no. The Bible says that he commanded them. Everyone say commanded them.
Amen.
This is a command of Jesus. He commands all the believers all over the world, even today, that don't go start a church, don't go out to do any ministry, don't try to go and witness, don't do anything until you have been baptized. Baptized means immerse, or fill up, or marinated, or overflow. When you put water in a cup, you keep putting, it will eventually fill. Is that right? And if I keep doing that, what happened? It will overflow out. I'd have to stop here. And then it will go outside that glass and spill all over the table. Is that right? That is the meaning of baptism. That God wants to fill you up with the Holy Spirit until it will overflow out and fill your life on the outside. In other words, the whole body is marinated and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do in your life. For what? For the power. God wants to give you the power to fight the problem in this world, to fight against the devil, to be able to do the ministry with the power, not with your own strength. Amen. And that is the promise of the Father. Let's say at the same time, the promise of the Father. It's the command of Jesus. Jesus commands every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea that you should do. It's a command. Amen. It's a basic thing. A, B, C. Not X, Y, Z. It's a basic thing for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at where is the promise. The promise was given many years, many hundred years before Jesus Christ was born. Look at Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 30. Joel chapter 2, 28 to 30. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. I just showed you a while ago. I pour out the water into that glass. He will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. God wants to pour out his spirit. This is a promise of the Father. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the church. Everybody can get it. Amen. Not only some certain people. Not only the pastor and missionaries and people who graduate from Bible school. Everyone, men and women. Amen. Our church believes that God can use both men and women. God pour out the Spirit on both men servant and maid servants. Amen. Because sometimes people say that, women have to keep quiet in the church, don't do anything. Then you go against Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 say that your daughter shall prophesy. So we believe that women can serve God in the church, can prophesy, can preach, can teach. We are not against women in this church. We welcome both men and women to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. God does not desire to stay in the building. Let me ask all the men in this room who got married. Choosing between living in a mansion by yourself or living in a shacky house with your wife, which one you choose? Make sure you answer right, okay? Choosing between a big mansion, waterfront mansion, and living by yourself, or you live with your wife in a shacky house, which one? Wife, with Jackie House. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the same thing. He rather stay in your body by the Spirit and have a fellowship with you than to live in a big, nice building but no people there. He wants to live on the inside of you. God desires all these thousands of years to live on the inside of God's people. Are you glad that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Are you glad that God wants to live on the inside of you? Are you glad that you can be filled with His presence, with the anointing of God? Amen. But you need to draw near to Him and open to Him. Our God is a gentleman. He never used side kick, front kick, and punch to break the door into your life. You need to be willing. You need to say, yes, God, please fill me up today. Please come and touch me. Please come and fill me again and again and again. Amen. God the Father is sitting in heaven. God the Son came down to earth 2,000 years ago in the form of a man. And He went up already in heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. But God the Spirit, the Helper, wants to live on the inside of every Christian all over the world. And He wants to fill you up with His power. Amen. Amen. So I want our church, I want you to be more conscious of the Spirit of God. To be more open. Don't ignore Him. Be more hungry for the Spirit of God. Your Christian life will be full of victory because He will give you power. What kind of people that God wants to fill with the Holy Spirit? Let's look at the scripture together. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. How many people know that? How many people were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room? How many people? 120 people. Is that right? Where were the 380 people? Where were those thousands of people were touched by Jesus and healed by Jesus and cast out demons out of them? Where were they? Why only 120 people out of 500? 120 people out of thousands of people that were touched by the hand of Jesus in His 3 years of ministry. Interesting. Why? It tells us something here that God will fill those people who obey Him. Acts chapter 5 verse 32. You remember Jesus commanded all the disciples, you must wait on me in Jerusalem. Don't leave town until the promise of the Father or the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Is this a command? How many people obey Him? Only 120 people. Another 380 people ignore His command completely. Or they may show up for a day, but they have to wait for 10 days in the upper room. Maybe on the second day, they say, I have a business to do. Some of them say that, oh, it's too long. I need to go out and eat some pizza. Some of them may say, I'm too busy. I cannot wait here for 10 days. I have to leave now. They did not obey to the end. But only 120 people obeyed Jesus to the end. This is what the Word of God says in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are His witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to live in obedience. What does it mean, obedience? Does it mean that if God tells you to stand on your head with your feet up in the air and clap your feet in the air, that what's it mean? If God tells you to jump out of the big building and you jump out of the big building into the ground, is that the word obedience? No. Let me make it simple this way. Obedience means this. Mean that you will not maintain the control of your own life. Everyone say, maintain the control of my own life. When you obey God, you stop maintaining the control of your own life. A lot of people want to be the driver of their own life. Oh, my way. I'm going to choose this way, my way. I don't care what God say. I'm going to do only what I want, what I think is fit for me. No. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to give up the control of your own life and say, God, you're going to sit on the driver's seat. I will let you lead me. I'm willing for you to do anything in my life. I remember when I gave my life to God many years ago. I said, God, you can use me anywhere in the world, Timbuktu, or in Africa. Anywhere you send me, I will go. I will obey you. I will do whatever. I will not maintain the control of my life anymore. I will do whatever you say. I surrender to you. If you come and I need to cry, I will cry. Yes. I will not fight with you. If you come and touch me and I need to move to another city, I will move to another city. If you tell me to go to that place, I will go. I will not control my own life, but I let you control my life. If you obey God, you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage all of you in this room. Give up the control of your own life and let God control you. The Holy Spirit come and fill you up so that He can work inside of you fully. So that you can be His vessel. So that you can be His glove. And He will be His hand. He will be your hand and move your life around. But thank God, when God controls you, you will never miss the blessing of God. Because God will bless you a lot. Amen. God, whoever God uses, God will provide, God will guide, and God will bless them. Amen. This goes along with what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is a difficult verse to read in the church. People don't like this verse. People like to hear, bless me, God, oh, give me money, heal me. Oh, God, I can do whatever I want. Just become my servant and do whatever I want. I can just snip my finger and you come like genie. And you do whatever I want. I can command you to do whatever I want. But the scripture doesn't say that way. The Bible says, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to all of them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, not just one time, and follow me. The 120 disciples willing to give up their own agendas. They were willing to give up their own ideas and purposes and plans. They want to obey the voice of the Lord. My cry and my prayer for our church here as a pastor is that you all will live this kind of life. You give your life to God. You deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow Him and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that everyone in this room, everyone in this church will welcome the Holy Spirit and yield to the Holy Spirit. You know what? I don't want you to go to heaven one day and you come to my face and say, Pastor, you did not teach me. I missed a lot when I was in the world because I never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You never showed me how to walk with the Spirit. I missed so much in my life because you never taught me, you never challenged me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And many of you that day, when you go to heaven, you will come to me saying, thank you, Pastor. You pushed me a little bit. You can encourage me to come out to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, oh, I get so much in the world. When I was living in the world, oh, it's so fun. It's so good that I can walk with God and I can have the power of God on the inside of me. Thank you, Pastor, for pushing me a little bit more. For stirring me up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't want you to miss any good things while you're living in this world. You know, you don't need the Holy Spirit when you go to heaven. Because there are no giants in heaven. There are no sickness and disease and there are no demons in heaven. But on earth here, you still fight the warfare. You still fight the battle. And how can you fight with bare hand? You need the power. And that power comes by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to keep pushing you. I'm going to lock the door. You cannot run away when I start to lay hand on people. When you try to run away, I will go and grab your neck and come back here. So that one day you will thank me in heaven that this pastor, I'm just kidding. Amen. So, you know, seek the Holy Spirit. Seek to be filled. You know that the anointing can leak out. When you go out from Sunday, the anointing leak and you start to not be filled anymore. You come back on Sunday and you be filled again. Amen. You get filled again. You get filled every day. You seek God every day. Get filled by the Holy Spirit every single day. And your Christian walk on earth will be exciting.
Hallelujah.
Will be full of victory. Will be full of guidance. Will be full of power. Will be full of grace and of favor of God. You will be led by God. Every single day will be a miracle. Day of miracle. Every single day you will be the day of guidance from God. It's fun. It's exciting. I don't know why Christians say to me, oh, is it boring? Oh, when Christians tell me Christian life is boring, I believe that they don't understand about the Holy Spirit. Because if you walk with the Holy Spirit, it will not be boring anymore. It will be exciting. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as long as I live, I'm going to keep bucking you. Keep pushing you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I will continue this lesson next Sunday about the Holy Spirit. I will need to stop here. But let us pray together that we will know the person of the Holy Spirit. We will be all continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, if you know that you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, I would like to pray for you at the altar here. Lay hand on you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you know that you still need more power, you need God to come in and fill you up with the Spirit of God, with the power of God, come, draw near to God. And it will draw near to you. This morning, if you don't know Jesus yet, I'd like to encourage you to give your life to Jesus. To come to know Jesus. Just give your life to Jesus this morning. Amen. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray, Lord, that those who never been filled with the Holy Spirit shall be filled today. Father, help your people in this congregation to welcome the Holy Spirit, to commune with the Spirit of God all the days of their life, Lord. They will not ignore the Spirit of God. They will draw near to God every single day. They will not miss the blessing on earth here. Blessing of walking in the power of God. Walking in the grace of God. Being led by the Spirit of God, Father. Help your people in this church, Father, that they will not deny this truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you never know Jesus, I would like to encourage you to accept Jesus Christ into your life right now. I don't know anyone in this room never accept Jesus. If you want to do that, I would like to pray with you right now. Simple. You just stand up and I will pray with you. And we would like to give you the gift so that you can understand more about God. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, you and your friend can stand together. Amen. I'd like to pray with you right now. Anyone want to go to heaven? Never accept Christ? Stand up. Anyone in this room? Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Stand up and we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington 98040. Thank you very much.